He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined on this, what is it, Wednesday? I'm not going to call it a fine Wednesday because it was not. That whatever we just watched from the Lakers was not okay. It was not fine. They went into Miami and got their asses absolutely handed to them. The final score was 134-93, so to the tune of 41 points, the Lakers got their asses kicked. And Raj, there are a variety of places that we can go and that we can, you know, start with or whatever. But I think the most pressing question that I have from this is, like, do we have to start using the Q word? Like, are we already there? It's like, right. It's December 4th. It's not even Christmas. It's not even like the week of Christmas.
That's why I said this has to be the earliest a team has quit, you know, early December while they are over 500. Like, if you go watch Philly or if you go watch these teams that have started so far behind, you can kind of see them kind of lose belief in what they're running. By the way, I just want, for people watching live, this is apple juice. I'm not drinking or anything like that on the air. It's scary to watch and watch the team kind of go through this. I've continued to push, Anthony, that, you know, our defense has been a huge problem and it's getting worse, I believe, you know, by the game. And you could see the team's like belief level. Like, we use quit in terms of a larger picture, but you just look at the belief the team has in what they're running, right? What kind of how they run their actions. And, you know, on the defensive end, it's a lot of walking, you know, it's a lot of pointing, it's a lot of oh that was yours. It's a lazy style, and we can get into the specifics of why that is, but yeah, I think it's fair to use the quit word. You just got blown out in Minnesota, Anthony, by 20, a game where, you know, most people put that on the offensive struggles. Fine. LeBron came out, scored the first 6 points of the night, had, I believe, 28 or whatever he finished with, you know, on a super efficient night of shooting, and you still get just absolutely thrown out the door. I think quit is a fair word to use for now.
My thing is, like, what isn't there to believe in? You got the coach that you hated fired. LeBron got the podcaster that he wanted hired. Anthony Davis got, like, I guess AD wanted Borrego. Like, you're going to quit because you didn't get Borrego like a month into the season? Like, to the rest of the guys on this roster, like, what are you quitting for? Like, I think D'Lo has played like marginally well, you know, like better than some, you know.
He shot well, yeah.
I don't know. We'll get into the quitting thing here in a bit. Let's talk about the game in specifically, and then we'll get to the macro stuff. So the Lakers, again, go into Miami and apparently, like, walk straight from the club into the arena. Again, the final 134-93 in this one. They were down by 8 after 1, and then they lost the second by 9, and they lost the third by 16, and then the fourth by 8. At no point did they, like, were they even competitive in a quarter against the Miami Heat here. Anthony Davis, I think, is the biggest story from this one. He played 31 minutes, went 3 of 14 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3-point range, only shot 4 free throws, finished with 8 points, 7 boards, 5 assists, and a steal, no block shots. Did commit 3 fouls, so at least he stood close enough to people to commit fouls.
Yeah.
LeBron, like you mentioned, was, you know, good on offense. He finished with 29 points, 8 assists, 5 boards, a steal, did have 5 turnovers, shot 12 of 18 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3-point range, finally snapped the streak He had gone 20 straight misses before he knocked down his 1 3-pointer tonight.
Yeah.
Dalton Connect, like, there's a lot of focus everywhere else, but, you know, I think we kind of have to mention this, like, after all of the hubbub of, oh, JJ Redick threw him out of rhythm by not starting him. Well, he started in this one, played 23 minutes, made one shot, went 0 of 2 from 3-point range, only shot 2 threes, Raj.
Yeah.
Had 2 points and 2 boards, 1 assist and 2 steals. It's just an ugly, ugly stat line here. You look at the Miami Heat, they set a record tonight with 24 3-pointers. Mm-hmm. They 47 of them. They shot 51% from 3-point range. I would say of the 47 threes that they took, 49 of them were wide open.
right.
It was a complete and utter ass kicking. You would have no idea that they had just gotten their asses kicked by Minnesota the day previously. Hell, like, you can go back to, so they beat the Utah Jazz, but I don't think they played well in that one, in any of those quarters.
No, barely won. Mm-hmm.
So you could go, like, they played the Phoenix game. So it went Orlando and then Phoenix and then Denver, right? Or was it Denver then Phoenix?
Yeah, I think you're right. And then it was Oklahoma City a few games after that as well.
Fairly competitive with OKC. So I'll give them credit for that one. Fairly competitive. But, like, overall, I think I would point to maybe like 3/4 of the last like 8 games that they have played like good basketball in.
Yeah.
It's like, where the hell did that Orlando game break them? Like, was that it? Was that all it was going to take?
Yeah, and I don't think it's just the Orlando game, but when I'm watching, Anthony, and, you know, coaches speak about this all the time in terms of, it doesn't really matter what they coach if the team doesn't buy into it, right? Like, a lot of coaches, they ask, like, why don't more teams run zone? It's because it's hard to get players to be, you know, super engaged in zone type of defense. That's why a lot of teams kind of stick to the man, kind of drop coverages. Lakers, Anthony, have been switching a lot of stuff. They've been switching on defense a ton.
Everything.
Yeah. And I'm of the belief, the basketball philosophy, that switching, it like really hinders lazy tendencies, right? And it's a lazy style.
Hinders or exaggerates them.
Exaggerates lazy tendencies. And it's a lazy type of defense, right? You're literally passive. Yes, you're passing off your defender to another player. And I think like there's aggressiveness that's lost in that. And I'm watching the team go back and I know most people don't do this, but if you go and rewatch like that first half and you watch AD switch on to Jimmy Butler, it's a lot of times where AD just lets him go by him. I don't know if the plantar fasciitis is still affecting him. I don't know how to like weigh that in terms of his play. It's tough to evaluate like when he doesn't play well versus when he does and when that's affecting him. But a lot of times it would just blow by after blow by, and Miami continued to just get wide open corner threes. And you give a guy like Tyler Hero wide open threes consistently, he's going to get hot. He got 7 threes in the third quarter. There's a moment, Anthony, when a team switches where the ball handler's open, right? It's a little, mm-hmm. There's a little sliver of time there. And Hero got hot off of that little sidestep dribble like 3 times. He hit one when it was a dead ball. And I was like, oh no. Because I saw him, he switched that and the crowd went kind of nuts on it. They ran the same play next time. He got a 4-point play against AD, then hit like 4 more threes that were wide open. It's just, I'm seeing that belief go. And I don't think the team doesn't respect JJ or anything like that. Those are really hard, you know, leaps to make. But I do see a team that's walking, that's losing its like composure and just its like will and belief in what they're doing, right? How many times can you run something when it fails? You're like, well, why am I continuing to do this? And you see this with D'Lo as well. He switches on to Jimmy Butler. He's like, oh, well, I mean, he's going to score. What am I? Should I try here? Like, you know, and it's just, it's this cascading effect. And that's what I'm seeing so far. And it's tough to win games when you're giving up. They give up 69 points at halftime.
The Heat were at 23 with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. I thought they were on their way to like a 50-point quarter.
And this is a below 500 Miami Heat team coming in here. Bam Adebayo was not playing well. Jimmy Butler was kind of having an up and down season. You let this team just absolutely embarrass you and have a great time doing it. They kept panning to the Heat bench, and the Heat are just having an absolute party at the Lakers' expense. It's been a rough few weeks.
I guess I don't have the clip of it, but you know, they So Trudell always opens with the first question. I actually kind of broke the unwritten rule when I went to San Antonio, because I'll bring some levity to this. So we're in the locker room and everybody's talking to LeBron, and I was like way back row there. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, you couldn't hear him. I got the video of him saying I played like shit, but like, I didn't, like, you know. And so, like, the LeBron thing was like wrapping up, and I was like already kind of moving towards AD because I was like, I'm not getting anything here from LeBron. Like, right. You know, mm-hmm. I may as well get a good spot here with AD. So I walk up. So they say last question for LeBron. And then while LeBron is giving that answer, I didn't even wait for the final, like for his full response. The PR lady there goes, all right, AD's ready for questions. So I was like, gone. Like, I'm just, you know,
yeah.
And I wind up getting like front row there, and I'm like standing there super awkward because the rest of the scrum is coming there, and like Anthony like didn't want to answer questions until everybody was there, I guess.
Yeah.
And the PR lady goes like, all right, open for questions. And I was like, okay. And True was in the other room where they had the what's it called? The stand that
The presser.
The table or whatever. So like okay. they had like the table service, and I think Gabe and Max and JJ, and I think one more player was over there. And then, you know, LeBron and AD were in the locker room, and True was in the presser. And then we were handling the scrums, and it was Allie handling the scrums. And Allie is supposed to get the first question. That's why, right. Like at the beginning of the video that I played, AD's like, are we going? Who the fuck is this guy? Are we going? And the lady was like, yeah, no, you're good. And I was like, oh. And then like I saw Allie's face. I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, my bad. I'm sorry. but anyway, that was more effort than the Lakers gave on the entirety of the game defensively today. And so like you're talking about like the belief and like the switching thing. Like again, I'm not saying that you're excusing them quitting. I'm not even going to try to explain it. Like,
yeah.
I think it's bullshit that we are in December and we're sitting here talking about them potentially quitting. I don't care what the reasoning is. Oh, JJ tells us to switch. I don't know about switching. I have to guard Jimmy Butler now. Like, I don't give a fuck. Guard Jimmy Butler. They have Tyler Hero on their team. Like, right. Tyler Hero's not some great defender, but he's still competing.
They have Kevin Love out there.
They have Duncan Robinson. They have three white guys. They out white guyed the Lakers tonight. That almost never happens. And right. so I'm watching like the way that they're playing. And there was a play where like the ball got passed into the interior and Kevin Love could have shot a layup. And instead he was like, no, oh, there's an open shooter over there. I'm going to pass the ball over there. And nobody moved to either player. And it's just like outright quitting. And like the transition defense is bad. And the transition offense is bad because they're not running because they're not getting stops. And the half court offense has gone to shit because LeBron has decided, no, I'm going to play LeBron ball now. And it's like, none of this makes any sense. Like it doesn't make, you guys wanted, when I say you guys, I mean, literally the Los Angeles Lakers last year wanted Darvin Ham gone. And then they came into this year's preseason and training camp walking on fucking bubbles and rainbows and shit because Darvin wasn't there anymore. We're a month into the season, a month and change into the season, and we're right back to the same old bullshit. And it's what happens when the first time that you quit on anything, that's you setting the precedent for yourself. Because the next time that things get hard, you're going to quit again. That's how this is going to go.
Yeah, right.
It's once a person cheats once, they are a cheater. They are going to cheat again. And it's like what we're watching here from the Lakers is them cheating on yet another girlfriend.
Right. And so this has been my point, Anthony. And I know a lot of people have, and I'm not blaming, you know, JJ specifically. And to your point of this is who they wanted. But I think that kind of, that's an issue in of itself, right? That like, and I know a lot of people don't respect it. And a lot of people gave me context on it. But in my opinion, you don't fall backwards into a conference finals appearance, in my opinion. I know people disagree with that, but I believe there's something that you did that was successful. To beat two teams in the playoffs, and I make this stat all the time, Anthony, the Sacramento Kings have made the playoffs once in the last 20 years. Once. Mm-hmm. And they were out in the first round in that first time. Like, I'm just showing you how difficult it is to win a round, let alone two. And yes, like, I think getting JJ was a nice move, and I think it helped for like a week or two. But the tendencies all feel like they've come back. This team is still terrible defensively. They still don't run back in transition. And there's to me, this is a organizational kind of culture issue rather than just, I see the trades that come out that people have, you know, given examples for. And I think, is Dorian Finney-Smith changing the culture of this? Like, yes, he would help. Yes, it would help to have more two-way players. It would help to have Vando, who's like, his date keeps getting kicked, you know, the can keeps kicking so far that I'm not sure it's a can anymore. Like, that just keeps going forward. That would help. But
Vando, don't kick the can personally. Let the Lakers kick it. Your feet are bad enough. Don't go kicking stuff.
Right. And Vando would tweet out, false. I did not kick the can down the other road. But no, like, I think this is an organizational and like cultural issue. And I like, to me, this is not just roster. Roster would help, but this is something like internal accountability and like connectivity is just not there. Like, a team, a player, again, LeBron and AD can be a separate tier in this, but like, a role player should not be able to not run back and have no consequences for it. You know, like, there should be whatever the consequence is, whether it's minutes, like, you know, there should be something where there's accountability for it. There's just not. Watch how many times D'Lo is more than okay with, you know, letting his guy go right by him in transition, or, you know, another player is more than okay with not boxing out. Like, this is stuff that, you know, teams really drill in training camp. And I'm not saying JJ didn't. It's just, when I watch the film, it doesn't look like these are things that are put at the top of the board. And that's what I'm seeing so far. It's a team that's quit on that end and is more than okay with doing that on multiple nights in a row. This is third game in four that they've just completely, you know, let the rope go on the defensive end. That's inexcusable.
I want to come back to the culture part here in a second. Part of the problem that I think JJ is having is that, like, there's no viable player that he could bench a guy for when they don't run. It's like, all right, D'Lo, you didn't rotate that time. Get out there, Gabe. God damn it.
Yeah, Gabe didn't rotate
either. Like, all right, get out there, Max. Max, come on. Like, you know, it's like, it's guy after guy after guy. And then it's like, well, Anthony Davis didn't hustle back on defense. Get out there. No, I take it back, Koloko. You can sit down. AD, please run back on defense. You know? Yeah. And then it's like he's playing Armel Traore, and he's playing, you know, he's just there. This roster doesn't allow the coach to hold guys to account because it's so shallow. But I want to come back to the point of, like, because this, I think, it should be the point of the show. Especially playing against a team that, like, prides itself on culture, right? Mm-hmm. In Miami. And that lack of accountability and how, like, it starts at the top. Mm-hmm. It starts with Genie. It does, like, look, if you and me, or if Twitter is aware of the fact that this roster isn't good enough and hasn't been good enough for 2 years, and the front office isn't doing anything to supplement, even on the margins, that roster with, like, some improvement here and there. Raj, they got swept out of the first round. The roster got worse.
We won a game. It was five.
Sorry, gentlemen swept out of. They got swept in the Western Conference Finals, and they got swept in the first round.
Yes.
Gentlemen swept in the first round, and the roster got worse. They like, Rob looked at that roster and was like, yeah, let's just wait till these guys are done. And it's like, and I think if you and I are in agreement and aware of the fact that this roster clearly isn't enough, and, like, these guys who think of basketball for a living probably feel the same way. They look at the bottom third of the roster and it's like, man, you look at, like, the Celtics, the bottom third of their roster is, like, you know, guys who would be rotation players here for the Lakers. You know, you look at the bottom third of the Lakers roster, it's LeBron's kid. It's Maxwell Lewis, who like only plays during garbage time. It's Jalen Huccifino, who the Lakers are ushering out the door, you know, and has only played 23 games now as a Laker. It's Christian Wood's corpse. It's Jared Vanderbilt's two broken feet. It's like the end of this roster is such a mess, and there was nothing done to supplement it. And if I'm playing on this team, again, I'm not excusing this behavior at all. But what I will say, though, is that like if I'm on this team and my front office is saying through their actions that they don't believe in us enough to even like clear a roster spot to go out and sign a Tyus Jones or to go out and sign a Gary Trent Jr., or that they would just let like they brought in Spencer Dinwiddie last year and they let him walk for nothing, and they signed Torian Prince last year and they let him walk for nothing. Like if this front office is telling me that like they don't believe in us to the extent that like I am like we are going to actively strip this thing down for parts and just wait for LeBron to finally retire, like eventually that's going to seep into and also, by the way, not get held accountable for it by the owner, who says that the only thing that matters to her is winning, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so like if Rob doesn't get held accountable for his malfeasance, and then you look at like how various coaches have treated LeBron and AD, dating back to Frank and then Darvin and then now JJ, and those like all of the coaches, like the harshest criticism that we've gotten to date was JJ saying, "I'm not sure 82 games is quite the smartest thing for LeBron." That's the harshest criticism that we've gotten of him. And LeBron is coming off of the worst four-game stretch of his NBA career. Anthony Davis played one of maybe the worst game that he's ever played as a pro.
Right.
And I don't think JJ called him out. No problem whatsoever calling out the rest of the roster. So you don't have accountability. You know, obviously, like owners never face accountability. But you don't have accountability with your president or vice president of basketball operations slash GM. They couldn't even go out and hire a GM for this guy last year. And then, you know, your coach. All right. So there was accountability there with Darvin Ham. He got fired. But now because JJ was just hired, you know that he's probably not going to be held to account this year much either. Mm-hmm. And then you look at your star players and there's not going to be much accountability. There's never been much accountability for them. So you're going to keep on going down the rungs of this ladder here and nobody is ever getting held to account. Of course it's going to seep into the rest of the roster. Of course that's what it's going to look like when shit hits the fan.
Right. And look, I think Rob Pelinka should definitely, you know, be, you know, have his feet held to the fire and be held accountable. But Andy, this is something that I think the Lakers have been doing, and it's again rubbed me the wrong way in terms of how we kick people out the door, right? Obviously the Westbrook situation was what it was. Westbrook was heralded as the issue the whole time, and obviously the basketball fit was ugly. And Pelinka still didn't trade him over that summer. Kept him the whole summer. He had to wait till February to make the move for him. And all we did was move that. Again, Ham makes the conference finals. And I think Pelinka heard he did what I think was the safest thing. Was, hey, let me just bring everyone back. I'll bring everyone back and we'll, you know, lean in on continuity. And then the next guy that was held to the fire was Darvin Ham. Right. And that's the guy that I think was blamed for most of all the falls. And I really try to push like, hey, like, I think it's more than just Darvin Ham. I know he's not a brilliant X's and O's guy, but I think there's more to this than just the Lakers visibly quitting or having internal turmoil or all this stuff. And I'm not saying there's internal turmoil now yet, at least, but I'm watching the team and like I was listening to you kind of say that. And I just wonder, wasn't the whole point of getting JJ Redick was that, hey, this guy? Oh, not that guy. That guy, they might as well have been speaking different languages. But this guy, he speaks basketball. And, you know, they're fluent in basketball in a way that they can speak about these type of things. And JJ's a similar age of LeBron and AD. And he was texting D'Lo all summer that I know some people have questions on the validity of that. But he was supposedly texting D'Lo all summer and was close with Austin and, you know, all this type of stuff.
Number?
What was that?
D'Lo, do you have Austin's number? Can I get it, Austin, really quick?
Just three-way call real quick. Can you
I know set you're it up? On the golf course with him right now. Could you just hand your phone to Austin? I have a couple quick questions.
Right. So there, you know, there's a lot of that. And then last year as well, with the, you know, Rui was supposed to, you know, Rui was upset because he wasn't starting. And then now he's starting. And it's like, oh, can he defend three is at a level that's enough at a starting three.
Well, no, so, now like, he's upset that he isn't, like, you know, featured in the offense now that he's starting.
Right. So, like, my point with that is the whole point of getting JJ was supposed to be so he could help hold LeBron and AD accountable, let alone the other guys. And that's just not happening. LeBron's been bad on the defensive end, first of all. Obviously, the offense stuff is what it is, the turnovers and all that stuff. But to me, it's the defense. Having one guy out there that just, like, his defensive motor is just completely shot, which is understandable at 40. But then you combine that with D'Lo, and I think the way the Lakers are trying to mitigate that, Anthony, is by switching and not trying to get too detailed, but it's just, again, it all compounds to me to a team that is now losing and losing by a lot. And, like, the offense was so good to start the season, it really covered for those flaws, but now it's not. AD's not averaging 30 a game anymore, right? Our shooting is not what it was. Dalton Connect's not averaging 24 as a starter, which was unreasonable, number one, to expect. And number two, I feel like we've kind of gone away from it, as you've spoken about. But yeah, the team's in, like, a really tough spot here. This is, like, I don't think it gets easier. We just added Memphis and Minnesota to our schedule, like, because we didn't make the play. We didn't make the Emirates Cup.
Other teams are adding, like, I bet Memphis and Minnesota are pretty excited that the Lakers got added to their schedule.
Memphis, number one, loves playing us, and Minnesota, like, they kind of have a style that really gives us trouble. We just added those two to our, you know, our schedule. It's this is a big kind of time here for the Lakers, but it's looking tough. I don't like what I've seen so far in December.
That notion of culture and accountability there, like, I'm looking at the quotes and I haven't seen anything from JJ that was, like, you know, actually ripping anybody. I thought tonight would be the night that he would. Maybe he already used that up, and, you know, maybe he's accepting of his fate here at this point. I did have, so in yesterday's show, you had somebody ask about, what was it? So I got to find it. Yesterday, I was asked about, like, JJ commenting on the personnel on this team. And I was like, I hadn't seen that. And then I saw this tweet from Lakers Nation, who said that JJ admits that the Lakers' defensive issues are partly personnel based, but that they need to be more disruptive and execute their game plans better. And, you know, the question at the time was, like, will JJ pointing out those, personnel issues, you know, light a fire under the front office's ass? That's the problem, is that there's no lighting the fire under the ass. Like, Rob Pelinka is sitting on a bidet that, like, anytime there's any warmth or whatever, or any kind of a fire, it just, like, shoots a little water and it puts out the fire, because, like, the boss doesn't want to fire him.